Praise the Lord. All right, if you would, stand and turn to Joshua chapter 10, please, in your Bibles. Joshua chapter number 10. I'm going to start reading here for a second in verse number 8. We're going to read down to verse 14. But you know the story. Last week we looked at it, and Joshua over there got deceived by the Gibeonites. You remember that? They came in because they saw what God had done to Jericho. They saw the victory at Ai. And they got scared, so they came up with a real good plan. And the Gibeonites had a great city. It was a powerful place. And they came in there and they said, we're going to make a pact with Israel. And Joshua messed up. He made a deal with them he shouldn't have made with them. And when these other kings in verse number 1, these other kings saw that Gibeon was so afraid of Israel, they decided they were going to come out and get together and conform a confederacy, and they were going to attack the children of Israel because they were afraid. And we'll pick it up here in verse number 8. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not. Excuse me, they were going to attack Gibeon and take them over. Gibeon called for Joshua. Joshua came to Gibeon's aid. Let me get that right. Now in verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth to Beth Horon, and smote them to Azekah, and unto Makeda. And it came to pass, as they fled before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they which the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for the word of God. I pray now, Lord, that you'd make me an able minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of sound doctrine. Lord, I pray this morning that you, by your Spirit, would minister this book to our hearts. Father, I need help. I'll admit it. I know it. I need help. I need you. And there's people here this morning, Father, who also need help. And I pray this morning, God, that they would not just get preached at, but that they would actually be helped when they leave. Father, minister to us, we pray. We ask you, God, I ask you, please be with my mind, be with my mouth, be with my heart. Help my spirit to be right. And I pray, Father, you'd help this truths in this passage and what you've laid on my heart to try to bring forth that's here in the book. I pray, Father, that it would come forth clearly, that the message would be effective. We pray it in Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, as I already mentioned, last week we saw Israel suffered because of a defeat. But that defeat came in a little bit of a different form than normal. That defeat came in the way that you and I often get defeated. It's not a direct head-on confrontation from the enemy. It was a sneaky, tricky, beguiling situation. And that's just how the devil works. It's not that he always gains the victory over us by direct pressure. It's not that he always gains the victory over us by the straight-on attack. I mean, many of you have had some attacks, and it's been pretty outstanding to me to see the way you respond and how well you handle the head-on attacks. Those aren't the things that really get to us most of the time. In my life, the things that get to me are the things that are kind of sneaky. The things that can kind of slide in under the radar are the things that I don't necessarily recognize right out of the gate. And that's what happened to Israel back in chapter 9. But if you'll look back with me, please, at verse 14, I want you to notice what the real problem actually was. The Bible says in 9:14, and the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. The real issue was not that the enemy was sneakier than God's people, that the enemy was sneakier than Joshua. As I read my Bible, I find out that God tells his people to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. So it's not that the devil, Paul said, I caught you with guile. It's not that the devil and the devil's people are trickier than you and I are or wiser than you and I are. The failure usually comes when we fail to ask God how to handle a situation, when we fail to pray. Now, the interesting thing here is that he didn't ask counsel at the word of the, at the mouth of the Lord, but God has an ear to hear his people. Joshua knows that about God. You realize this morning God actually listens to you? I'm thankful for that. It's comforting to my heart to know that a holy God, an almighty God, the powerful God in heaven, the God of the Bible, listens to a simple human being, a sinful man like me. He listens to me. What I find comforting is Joshua 10:14. He says in direct contrast to the last chapter, in direct contrast to the last 14, he says here, and there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Joshua just failed to ask counsel at the mouth of the Lord. He just made a big mess one chapter before. Because he didn't ask God's opinion, because he didn't go to God in prayer, because he didn't give God the right that God has, which was to instruct him on how to handle the situation. And as a result of that, he has a big mess on his hands. And now, just the next chapter, the Bible says that God answered Joshua in a way that God had never done before and never would do again for a man. Ain't that something else? In light of his failure? I want to explain something to you that I tried to explain Wednesday night. And for those of you who are here, I apologize for the repetition. But there's a lot of folks here this morning that can't make it on Wednesday night. And I want everybody to understand this. I really want you to hear me right now. This church is different. And I'm fully aware of that. I like it. I'm thankful for it. What you're in this morning is a Bible-believing church. We take this thing so far that, you know, many say, well, how come you didn't put Baptist in your sign? You're just like all the Baptists. Because I don't want to be branded with anybody's title or anybody's denomination. A lot of Baptists don't believe the book anymore. I'm happy to say I'm a Bible believer. That's what I am. I believe every word of this book. Then we go so far, I go so far in my personal conviction to say, I believe that if I'm going to be the pastor God wants me to be, I got to know the book. I saw that years ago. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So my understanding in my heart is, I have to be in this book in order to be a good pastor. Furthermore, I know I'm going to answer to God when I get to heaven for what I've preached. And I've heard a lot of preaching. Folks, I've even been put under conviction by preaching that's not even Bible preaching. It just, I don't know why it works. You get there, you sit there, a guy's a good deliverer, he's a good preacher, he knows human nature, he can tell a funny story, make you laugh, he can tell a sad story, make you cry, and then he pours out his personal conviction and you go, yeah, I need to stop that. I need to do that. I need to stop. I don't do that. And you get under conviction about something that God didn't even put in the book. And I've seen Christians choke and struggle because of somebody else's preaching and somebody else's conviction that ain't Bible. Well, good night. I don't want to do that to people. So I say, Lord, I'm just going to start in a book. Show me what book to do next. We're going to preach through that book. I believe there's a message in every chapter of the Bible. God help us when we get to Chronicles. I don't know what we're going to do. I believe there's a message in every chapter of the Bible. So God, I want to give them a balanced meal so they can grow spiritually. I can't live everybody's life. My experiences will be limited. I don't care if I'm 100 years old and been around more than anybody. My experiences are still limited. I want to feed God's people. But you know what this is? This is a tough book. We're going to go through this chapter and watch Joshua slaughter people after people after people. And there's something about that that appeals to my personality. I was trained, first of all, before I ever dreamed God would ever make me a pastor. I knew God called me to preach. And I was trained by a guy who was a preacher's preacher. The mountains of North Carolina, if he wasn't sweating, he wasn't preaching. You don't sweat, you don't earn your money, preacher. He can't preach. If you don't raise your voice, he can't preach. And that's what I was trained by, and I loved it, man. God used it in my life. God, he taught me to preach expositorily through the Bible, making my points come right out of the passage of Scripture and feeding the Word of God, making the application of life, and he brainwashed me with it. Folks, I practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and listened to preaching and preached in my car and preached in the mirror, preached when I wake up at night because I can't sleep, and preached when I'm driving. I just all the time worked on preaching. Well, you know what happens with that? It's pretty easy to get too tough. I don't want to get too tough. Because not everybody's wired like I'm wired. And I feel like there's been so much hard preaching that after a little while we get to where we don't even really receive the word anymore. Are you with me? You know what this book is giving you for? These illustrations as we go through the Old Testament and spell these things out. You know what they're here for? The book of Romans tells us they're here for our learning. That we, through patience and comfort, the Scriptures might have hope. See, this Old Testament's tough. I know a lot of times as a pastor, as a preacher, I'm tough. I don't mean to be so tough. I got hope from this book. I get help from this book. This book has changed my life. I don't ever mean to come off to you like I've arrived and I've got it all figured out and I'm this and I'm that. I know what I am. Just like you. I'm one beggar telling another beggar where to find the bread. Joshua's a great man, ain't he? He failed last chapter. He didn't ask God, it's God's opinion on something, and he made a big mess of the thing. Now in this chapter, he's got such a great God. This God who's over here going, Joshua, don't fear him, don't be dismayed. I am going to wipe them out through you. By the way, I'll help you out. I'm going to kill more with hailstones than you can get done with the sword. That's a tough God. I'm sorry, you hear it all the time. And you know what? After a while, it's like, okay, we know that already. You know, the modern day Christianity doesn't want to face this God. They don't want to present this side of God. Well, I think we need to be balanced. We need to present both sides. Amen? Amen. It's wrong for me to go too far the other way and present the wrath of God constantly. Yeah, God did show up and put a whooping on him, but that same God has a tender heart. And when Joshua cries out to God, even though last chapter Joshua ignored God and messed up, when Joshua in this chapter cried out to God, God heard him and answered like had been never seen before and never will be seen again. That encourages my heart. Because when I fail, when I mess up, when I get off track, when I do something that now has my life a little messed up and things aren't like they ought to be, I get a little hard on myself. I'm not just hard on other people. I'm probably harder on myself than you could ever be on me. Ask my wife. She goes, oh boy, here we go again. I'm hard on myself. I want to quit. I feel like, why should God listen to me? Who am I? Hey, I'm glad that I've got a God in heaven who listens. I'm glad that God loves me. The first thing I want you to notice from the passage is the reason God answered the man is because God tries hearts this morning. Look at verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I've delivered them into thy hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, went up from Gilgal all night. The Lord discomfited them. Listen, why in the world is God just showing up in Joshua's life? Joshua, as far as we can tell, has not prayed since his last failure. It's not like Joshua stopped and got on his knees and said, God doesn't show us anywhere that he did, if he did. You ever mess up sometimes and just not really get the fullness of how bad you've messed it up? Feel like, man, I don't know, God won't ever hear me. God heard him. What did he say? How did God hear him when, as far as we can see, he didn't say anything to the Lord? He didn't explain anything to God. He didn't get before the Lord and say, you know, God, I realize that I messed this up, and I realize, I'll tell you what God heard. God heard the man's heart. Look at 1 Chronicles, if you would, please. The book of 1 Chronicles. I want you to see something about King David. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Verse number 9. 1 Chronicles 28:9. This is the man after God's own heart, King David. If there's anybody in the Bible I would want to be like, I'd think it'd be David. I love what I see out of David. I could study David my whole life. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Now watch it. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. You know what he said about God? What he understood about God? He understood that God seeks hearts. God tries hearts. God sees imaginations. And God knows the heart motive behind what somebody does. You ever hear somebody say, I grew up with this kind of a philosophy. I don't know what you mean. I only know what you say. Like what I meant didn't really matter. Have you ever said something to somebody where it really came across wrong? I probably do it at least once a week when I preach, three times a week, and maybe even more than that. Like, wow. Man, do you realize how they just took that? You ever have somebody say something to you and you go, hey, why did you say that? That really hurt. I swear I really didn't mean it that way. Does that matter? Does it matter, to you and how you feel towards somebody, whether you're able to forgive somebody or not, does it matter to you that it was unintentional? Isn't it different when somebody's purposefully trying to be a jerk? That's totally different than, you know what, I just realized how I came across and I really didn't mean to come across that way. It does make a difference. It's not, you did it, it doesn't matter, you committed the crime, you committed the sin. Hey, it does matter if you just messed up. It does matter if in your heart you didn't intend to do it. In your heart broken because of what you did. The heart does matter, and God tries hearts. And that's why God heard Joshua. Because even though Joshua made a big mess, God could see the man's heart. And God sees yours this morning. I think you want to serve God. I highly doubt you'd be here this morning. And most of you have been here many times before and you know what you're going to get out of me. You wouldn't come back for that if you didn't really want to serve the Lord. Amen. God tries hearts. It's so easy for you and I to look at the letter of the law with everybody else. Well, I don't care. They shouldn't have done that. They should have known better. And the heart matters. And sometimes God doesn't judge people as harshly as we do because God sees the heart of that individual and God knows they're sorry and God knows they're not intending it. God knows they need a little time to grow up. They need a little time to mature. They need a little time to grow spiritually. Hey, God saw Joshua's heart. And here Joshua is heading back into a battle over with the Gibeonites in the last chapter. Joshua didn't pray about it. You know what Joshua did? Joshua had a heart to learn from his mistakes. He didn't pray. When he got defeated at Ai, he prayed. What did God say? Get up. What are you doing praying? Ain't time to pray. Get the thing right. Next chapter. Here he comes. He deals with the Gibeonites. Hey, you didn't pray. You didn't ask counsel in my mouth. Now here, he's not praying. But he's doing the right thing. Why? He made a deal with them. He made a deal with them and a pact with them. And he told them, you'll be a part of us. Then they send and they say, hey, Joshua, we're going to get attacked by this confederacy of kings. This confederacy of kings knows that we made a deal with you. They're coming in to wipe us out. So Joshua says, hey, I made the deal. I'm going to back it up. Well, isn't the Bible, didn't Joshua lack his Bible knowledge? I pointed that out to you last week. There was a sacrifice he could have made that got himself free of the oath he had taken. Yes, he was lacking in his Bible knowledge. Obviously, he's lacking in his prayer life. Anybody else can relate to that this morning? Don't raise your hand. You don't pray like you should, do you? Well, you're a pastor and you're paid full time to study and pray. Yeah, and every week I study and pray exactly like I'm supposed to. Think about it. Here's Joshua. He ain't studying like he should, is he? Ain't praying like he should. And God's still hearing him? Boy, that's comforting to me.
Because we get under this mindset of the law and that, man, God shouldn't answer me. I failed and I'm not as spiritual as I should be. And God is looking at your heart this morning. God understands your imagination this morning. And the very fact that you feel bad about not praying enough, the very fact that you feel bad about not reading enough, shows you that there's a heart in there that wants something from God. And God just might honor that. Saying make an excuse to be lazy. I'm saying God sees your heart and it matters to God. He made a deal with those folks and he said, now I got to back my deal up. Blessed is the man who sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. It's going to cost me something, but oh well. And he heads down there to the fight. God says that boy's got a good heart. He's backing up what he said. In the middle of his situation, you see, things don't look very good for Joshua. Look at chapter 19 and verse 18. The children of Israel, I'm sorry, chapter 9, verse 18. Excuse me, chapter 9, verse 18, one chapter before. The children of Israel smote them not because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. So not only is there a confederacy of kings coming after Joshua, but his whole congregation is mad at him for his leadership. They're mad at him for the way he's handled things. They see his fault. And the whole congregation says, my goodness, man, you bring us into the promised land. We have one victory and you get too big for your britches. We get wiped out by Ai. Then God comes in and kills a bunch of our own people. And then we finally get the victory at Ai. Then you make a deal with these people that you shouldn't have made a deal with. And you're supposed to have more wisdom than that, Joshua. You're the one leading us in for the victory. And there's Joshua like, okay, guys, now let's go defend them. Excuse me, bro? I mean, you're going from bad to worse. Now you want us to go into the battle to defend them when they beguiled us? Man, how much of a mess are you going to make out of this whole thing? How long are we supposed to keep following you? And all the congregation is murmuring against Joshua. You know what Joshua does? He does what's right. You ever have to do what's right in the face of adversity? In the face of real problems? This man has some real problems right now. He understand that? He crossed over that Jordan River. He's now in enemy territory. Not only is he getting rebuked repeatedly by God, but he's got an adversary out there that wants to wipe him off the planet, and now everybody that's got his back is against him too. What do you do in a situation like that? What do you do when everything seems to be coming in at once? Isn't that how it works? It's never like you just have problems with the kids. You know, it's like financial problems, problems with the kids. Now I'm being a jerk to the wife, so now I got real issues over there. And now it seems like it all just kind of comes in at one time, doesn't it? What do? You remember God tries hearts and just do what's right. See, Joshua could have said, no, they deceived me, so since they deceived me, I'm not backing them. Forget it. But he didn't. He has an uncanny way of recognizing his own responsibility in the middle of a situation. You know what we tend to do? Well, those Gibeonites. Well, my stinking people. The father. Man, they shouldn't be talking. They shouldn't be. They should understand. I'm just human. We have a way of pointing the finger at everybody else, don't we? Well, my parents. How about me? How about my responsibility? Joshua had a way of recognizing his own fault. The kings are gathering against him. His congregation's against him. But he says, I have to do what I swore I would do. And he heads out there into the battle in spite of everything that may be going on around him. God sees his heart and God shows up and says, Joshua, no man is going to stand before you. Folks, this morning, what could be more important than having the backing of God? What could be more important in your life than having God say, hey, I see your heart and I'm going to help you out? What could be more important? See, my pride is hurt oftentimes because of my failures. Then my emotions get hurt because other people see my failures and point them out. My emotions never get hurt when I see somebody else's failures and point those out. I'm always okay with that. And I always meant it right, and I'm always trying to be helpful, and you know, hey, it's okay, they deserve it. How stupid can they be? Right? God shows me myself all the time. I called my pit bull this morning stupid. Because he was standing in front of me and he didn't know that I'm in a hurry trying to go this way. And he's like, kind of like the biggest sissy baby. I mean, I'm telling you, man, that, you could just pick him up. And just, if you could pick him up, just hug him. You know, he'll put his head on your shoulder. You know, it's just, I'm like, get out of my way, idiot. Lord's like, yeah, who's the idiot? So easy to look at other people and say, what are you thinking? It's not that easy to see myself. Especially when all the pressure is on and even God seems to be dealing with me. But that is the time to stop, step back and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but I am going to do my best to just do what's right no matter what the consequences. Because God will see that heart and God has tremendous mercy. Amen. And God has answered prayers for me and is answering a prayer for Joshua before he prayed it. Have you ever had God do that for you? Hasn't that happened? Come on. Like, man, that was in my heart, but I never even really prayed about that. I can't tell you how many times grace has come to me and said, man, you know what, honey? I was thinking about that, but I never even really prayed about that. And God answered. God judges hearts. God looks down from heaven and he sees that heart. Oh, other people see the faults, don't they? You see your own faults, don't you? Don't you? God sees your heart. That's a comfort to me. God also hears Joshua because Joshua courageously tries to obey God no matter what. He ascends in verse 7 from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. He's obeying God. He gets a fresh faith in his obedience. Look at verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. He has a fresh faith for this particular situation. You know what happens to me? I like to talk about my past faith. It's an exciting story. There is some exciting stuff. I was in college and I wanted to go full-time for college. I didn't want to have to work a job and try to go to Bible college. So I prayed. God put it all the way down to the last 2 weeks before I was to go to college. And in 2 weeks' time, I landed a roofing job that paid off all of my bills and paid my college up front. I worked for 2 weeks, sun up to sun down, even in the dark. My feet by the end were literally swollen. Trying to get out of bed in the morning. Ah, I mean, literally swollen. 2 weeks before college, I was 21, 2. That was awesome. You know, we started the church and pay off most of our debt except for the house. Build up a little bit in the savings, figure we can make it for 6 months. Quit my job full time. Go full time at the church like a psycho nut job. That's crazy. God blessed it. That's a blessing. You know, today things are different. The circumstances are all totally different. Nothing's like it was last time. First time Joshua went in, it was Jericho. Took faith in God, brought it down. Second time, something he should have won the victory over just like that, almost defeated him completely. He got the thing right, got his faith back, got the victory. Now it's totally different again. You guys realize we can't live on the faith of yesterday? You need a fresh faith this morning to see God deal with the circumstances of your life today. I don't want my faith to get old and stale. I don't want to talk about what God has done in the past other than to praise him and encourage myself and encourage others. But I want a fresh faith this morning to see God do something special in my life again today. Amen. Haven't we gotten a little bit into a rut? Just as a church, haven't we? That's the truth now. We just kind of have kind of got into this. It's kind of just been going smooth. Nothing real. And that's fine. Those are great times. This time when God slows things down and we grow. But I want some fresh faith to start seeing people saved again. I want some fresh faith for whatever it is I have to face next in life. God help me, 4 girls going into the teen years here shortly. I want a fresh faith, man. I don't want to live on yesterday's faith. Joshua's in the middle of this thing, and now for the first time, what we can see, he actually cries out to God. He speaks unto the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites. Notice he does it before the children of Israel.
He's out there with the whole thing. He's letting everybody know, listen, God might not answer me, but I'm trusting him anyways. True faith is obedient faith. Joshua is doing what God instructed him to do. He's obeying the Lord, and that's the kind of faith that actually works. Faith that obeys. Not the wild, crazy stuff. I mean, somebody had one of these videos of some charismatic church where the guy's talking about getting the Holy Ghost, and take it. He's throwing the Holy Ghost out. Take it. And everybody's falling over. And there's people up in the balconies throwing the Holy Ghost up to them, I guess, you know. He's, take it. And they're all falling down in the balcony. That's a bunch of foolishness. You guys, that ain't faith. Oh, you know what I was thinking like a pastor? Watching people fall over and chairs fly everywhere. And I'm going, oh my goodness, your insurance premiums must be through the roof. Yeah, amen. Seeing them, they're in the balcony jumping up like this right at the edge of the balcony. What are you going to do when that guy flips over that balcony and dies? Guys, that's foolishness. That's not faith. Faith obeys. Joshua's in the middle of a mess, but you know what? He pushes it forward because he's obeying God. If you're obeying God, you're safe. I want a fresh faith to obey. You know what God does? God shows up in the middle of that thing. God discomfits them in verse 10. God slays them in verse 10. In verse 11, God casts down stones from heaven. God has a way of showing up when you obey. God has a way of pouring it out when you obey. God has a way of just blessing you and helping you and getting you down the road when you just obey. It's not about being perfect this morning. It's not about being sinless this morning. It's not about the struggles you got in your life and the sin problems you got in your life. It's about your heart. That makes the difference. You know I'm not making excuse for sin. I shouldn't have to park it and preach on all that right now. You know what I'm saying. It's about the heart. Who in this room doesn't have struggles? Who in this room doesn't have problems? Who in this culture today with the television and everything else that we've got constantly in our face, who here is Mr. or Mrs. Innocent? Not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. Well, at least we're not homosexuals like the homosexuals and their homosexual agenda. You're not any more righteous than they are. And I'm not any more righteous than they are. There's none righteous, no, not one. So yes, we all have struggles. Yes, we all need to grow. Yes, we all fail. But yes, God in heaven sees and tries the hearts and he listens to the cry of his children. And he hears Joshua. Hears him before he speaks. I'd be willing to bet some of you this morning already have answers to prayer and you don't even realize it. You haven't even prayed it. I'd be willing to bet some of you this morning are in the process of obeying God and doing your best to obey God from the best heart you know how, and God is raining it down from heaven or gonna rain it. So you sound like a charismatic preacher this morning. Well, hey, a little balance won't hurt us, amen? God has blessed me. God has blessed me more than I deserve. God has answered me. God has rained it down from heaven on me. I'd be glad this morning just to tell you God's been good to me. God's been better to me than I deserve. And I think we need to remember that today, that God hears and listens and answers and tries our hearts. I want my heart to be right with God. Because I'll tell you something about my flesh. It's always struggling. Good days and bad days, up and down, back and forth. Grace was gone all day Friday. Oh, Lord, Jesus, help me, please. She was gone all day Friday. She had a hair appointment, then she had to come up here and work, and then she had to go grocery shopping. Stark at 5 o'clock. You guys realize how that feels when you're there when it's dark, and you're there when it's dark, and you never leave? Oh, I did run up to the gas station to grab a couple gallons of water. That was my time out. You stay-at-home moms, you must just about walk on water. Amen. That's rough stuff. She came in, she's like, well, how's it going? I said, I have been a horrible father today. The kids are like, yeah, but we're all in a good mood, so. That's what the little brat said. Yeah, but we're all in a good mood. Oh, shut up. Little Holy Spirits, you know. You're married, you got a Holy Spirit in the house, right, man? And then God gives you four daughters, man. You got like four little mini Holy Spirits. It's brutal. They just look at you like, you're like, yeah, I know, I'm an evil person. Now quit looking at me, eat your food.
This flesh is always acting up, man. I didn't even know what was wrong. I mean, it was a great day to be stuck home. Peacock had the Jubilee was going on at Pastor Peacock's church down there, and there was instruction all morning for preacher boys and preaching all night. It was a great day to be stuck at home. Amen. I don't even know what my problem was. What I'm trying to say is the illustration I'm making is my flesh is always acting up. I'm glad God tries my heart. He was obedient. Folks, if we obey God, God hears. The last reason, though, is because God wants to hear. You ever stop and think that God actually wants to hear from you? Good. Especially, you know, everybody kind of expects that of a preacher. And preachers, even some of the, you know, a few guys here are called to preach, and preachers expect that of themselves. You know, well, I prayed over this, you know, and I'm praying, brother. You know, like, somehow because I'm called to preach, this is a more important thing for me than the average person. As though preachers aren't average. Usually preachers are a little below average, to be honest with you. Paul said he's the chief of sinners, remember? It's true. God wants to hear from you. Every person in this room, God wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. Yes, he wants to hear from you. He already knows. He wants to hear from you. Jeremiah 33:3. Dispensationalists, just hang on to it. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He tells Israel, they're in a backslidden state. You ever read Jeremiah, the weeping prophet? It wasn't about what great people they were. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee. And by the way, I'll answer you so big, you don't even know what I can do for you. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. As if that wasn't enough, Jesus tells his disciples, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. I want you to enjoy your Christian life. Ask and you'll receive. I used to claim those kind of promises and pray. Back when I was desperate, because every single day that passed, the clock was ticking. And we just bought the first house, and our first house, and I don't even know if I'm going to survive. That kind of pressure was good. Why not today? Souls are still going to hell today just like they were 5-6 years ago. As if that's not enough. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8:26, likewise, this is for the dispensationalists so that they can claim the same promise. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Our infirmities. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. You realize what he's talking about? He's saying you're a sinner. You don't deserve it. You fall short. The accuser of the brethren is always pointing out every area of your life where you're not good enough. And what he's saying is, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. People tell me, oh, I just don't know how to pray. Join the crowd. Yeah, you're in great company this morning. Come down and pray with us because none of us know what we're doing. Amen. But the Spirit maketh itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So in other words, the Spirit of God knows that my flesh is wicked. And when I get down to pray, he helps me. And there's great and mighty things going on that I don't even know about. Because he tries my heart. And he takes my prayers from my heart, from my spirit, up before the Father. And he presents my prayers before God Almighty with groanings which cannot be uttered. You and I can't even communicate on that level. So it ain't the fanciness of your prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And God's going, hey, Holy Spirit, can you interpret this? He's like, yeah, vain repetitions, mumbo jumbo, his heart ain't in it, Lord. He's thinking about something else. He's thinking about absolving what he did so he can go do it again. We don't even know how it's coming through to the Father. But it comes with groanings which cannot be uttered. So what I'm trying to tell you is, obviously, God tries the hearts. And God listens to the heart. I'm going to close with this. When you got saved, I think there may be one or two here this morning who aren't saved yet. Christian, when you got saved, what happened? You weren't clean, were you? You didn't stop your sin and then do some good works and God saved. No, not of works as any man should boast. How did you get saved? You got saved because you had a sincere heart. You realized you needed Christ, right? You realize that you were convicted of what you were, a sinner. It's not like, oh, I did this and I did this and I did this and I did this and I did this. You can't even imagine all the things you've done to God. There's things you've done to God you don't even know you did. No, I meant that the right way. He tries hearts. I wasn't confessing every little thing I ever did. I confessed what I am. I said, Lord, I know I deserve to go to... There was nothing more sincere in my soul than the day that I realized I was going to burn in hell and I turned to God by faith and just confessed what I am to God. Isn't that how it started? A sincere heart? You wouldn't be born again this morning if you didn't have a sincere heart about it. If you were playing a game with God, you didn't get anywhere. What'd you do next? You obeyed the gospel. Right? Man, Lord, I know it. I see it. Your son died on the cross to take away my sins because I can't do it. Lord, okay. Okay, I'll obey. I'll trust him as my Savior. The last thing you did is call on the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The three things that Joshua did that caused God to hear him and answer in such a way that God had never done before and never done since, those three things were what took place the day you got saved. Is that making sense to you? Why not continue in the thing that you learned? If it worked for you day one, don't you think it'll work for you this morning? God's still trying hearts. God's still looking for obedience. And God still wants to hear. Christian, I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know if it's your past failures, if it's a current struggle, if there's decisions you need to make. I got no idea, but I know one thing, God hears. And I'm glad he hears me. I'm glad he listens. He'll listen to you too. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, today's the day. Paul said, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Today's the day. Don't leave here lost. In just a minute, and Brother Rob probably don't even know because we're done so early, but in just a minute, if you don't mind getting him, brother, just a minute, we're going to bow our heads, we're going to stand to our feet. And Christian, I want to open up that altar call to you for you to come and say, Lord, I just want you to hear me this morning. Even if it's nothing that's a big deal, I just realized you try hearts. This is a blessing, man. It's always what I got to do all the time. Doesn't that wear you out a little while? After a little while, it wears you out. Like, oh, yeah, now I got to be here for fires on Saturday because the pastor's going to be mad if I don't show up. And it's not about what you got to do nothing. Amen? Die and pay taxes. Do those two things. The rest of it, forget about it. You don't have to do anything. God tries hearts. If you want to be here, praise the Lord. If you can't, no big deal. God sees your heart. Maybe this morning you just need to get down here and just say, Lord, I'm glad you see my heart. Help me. And maybe you're not saved, and today's the day. If you'll step out here while the heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'll have Pastor Chad take you in that office, close the door, and make sure you understand what it is and get it settled this morning. All right? Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you would stand.